Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning. I'm gonna preach the word. And I'm going to talk slow, and you need to hear fast. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you bring revelation as we embrace mystery. And I thank you that you're taking us places we've never gone before, into a land that we are to occupy, because we've been forged for the battle, because we've been upgraded in Christ, and to possess it and occupy the land in our spheres of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. God does not hide things from us. He hides things for us. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, there's a story of Zacchaeus. And I want you to capture this quickly, because I think if you capture this, you'll capture the heart of God, and you'll capture revelation in the midst of mystery that you've never had before. Verse 1, Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I have to stay at your house." And he hurried, came down, and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save." He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to seek and to save people who are lost outside the church. He's come to seek and to save people who are lost inside the church. See, God hides things not from us, but for us. So here's the question we all get asked is, okay, did God find us, or did you find God? Did God conceal the matter? Did God reveal it to us, or did we seek it out? The answer to both questions is a resounding yes. Well, which one is it? Yes. Well, how do I know what to do? Seek him as he seeks you. It says in Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings, which is you, to seek a matter. I want you to meditate on this one fact. In every area of your life right now, relationally, financially, occupationally, in every realm, as a parent, as a student, mom, dad, grandparent, there are territories as you go about possessing the land, just like Jesus did, who is our model. I want you to pay attention. From Zacchaeus, we learn one thing. Jesus was on a mission. He was going from here to there. Notice he wasn't in the synagogue. He's on mission, and the crowd is following him. The disciples are following him. They is following him. Isn't it interesting that at some point, they becomes the people who are closest to Jesus actually become the obstacle for Zacchaeus? The church became the obstacle. The disciples, they became a part of the grumbling that kept people from seeing the salvation of Zacchaeus. They became so consumed with their programs, their thought processes, and the way it was done yesterday that they didn't embrace the move of God today. And Zacchaeus was blocked from seeing Jesus clearly because of they who were grumbling. They. Who's they? It's any mindset, both inside and outside the church, that doesn't embrace what God is doing right here, right now. It's they who stands in the way of bringing people to Jesus. But not only that, it's they and those mindsets that make it more about themselves than seeking and saving that which is lost. And I want to remind you, that's inside the church and outside the church. I would like to suggest Jesus was on mission. I would also like to suggest that heaven stopped when one man who overcame his labels, Zacchaeus was short, his limitations, his tax collector identity, which was the scourge of the universe in that day, the social lepers of that day, and there are some in our day who are social lepers in any mindset that is contrary to the kingdom of God. You know who they are, and Jesus died for them, and they need to see him clearly. So the church needs to get out of the way so that the Zacchaeuses can rise and invite Jesus into their home. There's two parts responsibility, though. In one way, we need to stop grumbling and embrace the move of God, no matter how messy and inconvenient it looks like. But there's an equal responsibility on the Zacchaeuses to pursue Jesus at all costs. Well, which one is it? Is it the church becoming a stumbling block, they, or is it the Zacchaeuses who need to take ownership and go after Jesus? Which one is it? Yes. So you see Jesus going into Zacchaeus' home. Now, I want you to understand something. In the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus takes up residence in our home. What they didn't realize, the disciples, the Pharisees, all the people around him, were all the crowd was looking at this. What they didn't realize is that very shortly, the Holy Spirit was going to come in power upon every believer, and Jesus was going to come to their house. But they were so busy trying to box God in for what he was currently doing, they couldn't see clearly, and they didn't realize that they had all the kingdom privileges if they would just seek and explore. They were so busy complaining about the now, they couldn't step into what they were about to step into. The inheritance that Jesus died on the cross for was about to become a reality, and Zacchaeus was a prototype for what was to come in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was deposited in power. Have I lost you yet? Jesus was on the way, and heaven paid attention. Now, I need you to see this. Heaven paid attention to one short guy who was willing to crawl up and bust out every label, lid, and limitations to get a glimpse of Jesus. He didn't do that to just try to get him to come to his house. That was a benefit of seeking Jesus, not what he could do. But his reputation was so pronounced, he was willing to fight through any of that to get up into a tree and to see Jesus clearly. Well, which one is it? Do we need to focus on discipleship or seeking and saving the lost? Yes. Well, I really feel like we need to disciple people. You're absolutely right. So create a habitation that Jesus can walk into and blow up the room in the house. Because what you notice is Zacchaeus' response wasn't for super angry Christian guy who labeled out all of Zacchaeus' sins from top to bottom. What you see is Jesus walking into his house, having a feast, and the response that Zacchaeus gives is, oh, I'm going to four times that. Well, where is the sinner's prayer there? I don't see it. Scripture doesn't say that. What it says is that the presence of God was so pronounced in that environment that Zacchaeus completely changed his mindset. Why? Because Jesus blew out all of that stuff that was a hindrance to him hearing revelation of who Jesus is. See, when Jesus visits your house and comes inside you and possesses you, all that other religious noise falls by the wayside. Now I don't have to worry about my identity because I'm a son right now. And it's the glory of kings to seek out a matter. Now I've stepped through that rabbit hole. Wide, narrow is the gate into the kingdom. But once you get in, oh, there's a lot of privileges to explore. This concept of exploration, we've been talking about occupying the land. We've been talking about occupying these spheres of influence. Let me tell you, Zacchaeus got a revelation of the goodness of God that was so pronounced. It was an invitation to the grumblers, the complainers. This was an invitation to the they, but they didn't get it because they were so boxed in to a mindset that they hadn't repented from, that the goodness of God was so pronounced that he wants to come up and blow up everybody's house because you and I are a habitation of God. There's the other side of this, and that God hides things for us, not from us. There are revelations that you and I have that build so that we can carry the weight of that revelation in the midst of mystery. For instance, when I first got saved, I got a revelation in Scripture that says that Ryan Kibbe was completely forgiven of all of his sins, past, present, and future. That's a profound revelation because of what Jesus did for me. And if he did it for me, he did it for you. The next revelation I got is, there is power that comes with the decision to receive forgiveness. There is power that comes with that decision. And then the Lord began to give me a revelation that I can actually explore the territory, and faith allows me to explore that territory. So then I began to test things and find Easter eggs all over the place, like, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. I can get a word of knowledge and bless somebody and read their mail. It's not me, it's Jesus. But everywhere I go, I'm a perfect grace zone when I get into alignment with what he's doing. You mean I can get ideas? Now listen to this, church. You can get ideas right now, today, even while people are getting dunked, or while you're at home doing the laundry, or on the job in the middle of busyness. The Lord can invite himself into your house right here and do profound things that create a habitation. You are a habitation of the Holy Spirit, and you can step into any environment on this planet, in Green Bay, in Appleton, wherever you're from. You can actually step into that anytime you want and become a breakthrough for everyone around you. Think of it economically. What if the church got such a revelation on stewarding finances that the entire world looked at us the way the Queen of Sheba looked at Solomon? See, that label lids and limitation that we think about, we think seek and save the lost. Some of you are thinking when I preach this message, oh, this is all about evangelism. No, this is all about being a habitation. So here's what happens. Zacchaeus busts through and you see the repentance. Here's what I want to suggest to everyone listening online and in here. Our repentance isn't just from dead works, meaning our repentance, the changing the way we think, it isn't just I'm forgiven of my sin and I'm going to live a nice, clean, moral life. That's incomplete faith. What repentance that Jesus talked about, he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is here, it's at hand. That kingdom means I repent from dead works, I repent from self-justification, I repent from righteousness of my own works, because it is not. It is all the finished work. That's part of it. But I not just repent from dead works, I step into faith's exploration of the Easter eggs and the inheritance that God gave me and you from the foundation of the world. So now I step into revelation and things I've never seen before. What would it be like for the church to become a city on the hill that the nations come to, the desire of the nations, who is Jesus? What if the wisdom was so pronounced on each and every one of us that people couldn't help but be attracted? As you walk down the streets, people begin to see Jesus on you just because of who you are and the reputation that precedes you, because you care and you love big and you love so well that everywhere you go, people begin to mark you as that's a person who's been with Jesus. How would that change evangelism? How would that change evangelism? How would that change seeking and saving that which is lost? How would that change the way you treat your church members, your fellow church people? Because I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm learning. There are lost people outside the church, and there are lost people inside the church, and there are lost unbelieving believers. Believers. See, God hides things for us, not from us. It's the Easter egg. And he says, okay, Ryan, you know, when my kids were two, I'd hide an Easter egg. I would put it right there. If I put it right there on the kitchen table where it was in neon yellow saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. It's not quite as fun when they're 15 and you do the same thing. Why? Because I enjoy it, the exploration, and I enjoy watching it because it's in the discovery that I come alive and so do they. Here's a lie from the pit of hell that we've all bought into, is that evangelism is somebody else's job. Not all of you are called to be evangelists, very true, but all of you are called to be a habitation epicenter of Jesus Christ that blows an earthquake into every environment they step into because you have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in you, which means you are a supernatural earthquake waiting to happen wherever you go. That's truth. It's 100% true. So don't give me that bag of, oh, I'm just, no, repent. You're supernatural, man, woman, ladies, gentlemen. I'm about ready to close. Heaven approves this 15 and a half minute message. Seek and save that which lies. Here's the challenge I'm going to leave you with. And if we can get Michael up here, we're going to close. Here's the challenge. If we're going to occupy, we've got to use our upgrades. Some of you, God has been speaking to you over the last 4 to 5 weeks since I preached that upgrade message. It said you're upgraded. Your circumstances, you have next level thinking hitting you right now. You have solutions to problems before that you didn't because God is bringing next level thinking so that you can step into next level living. And getting into the Word of God is a key part of that. So here's what I'm suggesting. As you begin to read your Bible, there are those of you in this room who've said, I can't read my Bible because I don't understand it. Here's a revelation. Here's what I'm breathing on. This is what I'm saying to you, church, is that lie is no longer valid in your life because Jesus is the living Word and he knows perfectly well how to read his own Word through you. So lie exposed, lie exposed. So all of a sudden you're going to read that Bible and go, holy smokes, I'm seeing myself not just as Zacchaeus in the story, I'm seeing myself on mission as Jesus in the Zacchaeus story. Ah, and that's part of discipleship, is seeking and saving the lost. How many of you feel found right now? Would you stand? I'm going to leave you with some closing questions. I have an ask. I know in this, a lot of people are coming to the second service because of the baptisms. I felt like there needed to be a baptism in the Holy Spirit, particularly for this service. I need some ministry team members. We have what we call a fire tunnel that we're going to have, and that's where people pray over you and give encouraging prophetic words. We're going to do that in the second service, but I feel like we're supposed to have a fire tunnel right here, and I want people who, bare minimum, you need a power surge. You need a power surge. So if we could have our ministry team face each other and create like a gauntlet here, it's what we call a fire tunnel. And I want people who need to, who just need an upgrade in their thinking. They need an upgrade. They've been forged for these assignments, but they have lost hunger. And that hunger, when they lay hands on you, your hunger is going to escalate and you're going to find yourself getting in position for becoming your own revival. See, Zacchaeus was positioned. His hunger led him to explore things he hadn't seen before. He didn't know what was going to happen. His hunger led him to Jesus in a deeper way. Some of you need power. You have Bible knowledge, but there's a difference between knowing the written word and knowing the living word. And you need an encounter with that. So these people, when they pray over you, there's going to be an immersion of power, of wisdom and revelation knowledge. And some of you have been holding on to mystery. When we explore the territory, it's equally important that we engage mystery as much as we do revelation. The Bible says God takes great pleasure in giving us the mysteries, in revealing the mysteries of the kingdom. He takes great pleasure in that. but he also summons us to explore what hasn't been done. He's summoning us to do that. So some of you, when I say baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's an immersion of power, creativity, wisdom, insight, supernatural things. That's as simply as I can describe it. But if that's you, I want you to step right here. Come right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come right now. And for the rest of you, I'm going to close with these questions. I need to ask some of you in these quick few minutes here, and I'll be done. Anything that maintains an internal focus, meaning it's all about the people in here, or it's all about my family only, or it's all about my business only, anything that maintains an internal focus ultimately dies because it's rooted in self and it's not who we are. So a church that is focused strictly on seeking and saving the lost, but not discipling their own, is incomplete. But likewise, not seeking and save the lost in the church and outside the church, and focusing on discipleship only becomes inward focus. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is a lifestyle. And it's all-encompassing. And it's looking for those moments for God to show up because you're a habitation of the Holy Spirit. Here's my final question to you. I wrote a few of them down. What if I spent most of my day pondering what God thinks about the land he's called me to? What if you got pregnant with a vision for your life and those around you, that you spent more time throughout the day wondering what God is up to seek and save that which is lost, and in the process find yourself while you seek and save the lost? Far less time worrying, far more time exploring. You are pioneers into lands we've never gone before. What would it be like to have a church that influences every area of influence? This can happen because you have creativity and wisdom inside of you that's unique to your assignment, your purpose, and your destiny. Some of you may need to walk through this tunnel for purpose and assignment. I encourage you to get in line. Would you bow your heads, and I'm going to close. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're baptizing people and immersing them with dreams. Where are they coming alive? Paying attention to the details of the things they come alive talking about. Because it's the pleasure of the Father to hide that Easter egg. And somewhere there's an assignment each and every one of them has. You love to play hide and seek. You love the exploration and the mystery. When we learn to let go of mystery and disappointment in the midst of exploration, more revelation comes. And I pray this over everyone here. As they read the word, it begins to read them. As they engage you in their quiet times, you come alive in their hearts and things begin to change. And we have a Zacchaeus moment where repentance is a byproduct of encounter that is so deep it transforms not only us, but it impacts everyone around us. And we become like Zacchaeus, affecting culture one person at a time. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.